It's Mark's Miserable Marvelous May. It's Mark's Miserable Marvelous May. M-A-R-C, Miserable or Marvelous. M-A-R-C, Miserable Marvelous. M-A-R-C, Miserable Marvelous. M-A-Y, May. Music.
Welcome to the New World Pictures Podcast, where we're going to talk about every movie released by New World Pictures. I'm Ryan. With me, as always, is Mark.
You know, guys, I got to say, I really liked this one.
Oh, and Erica.
What is happening?
Wait, hold on. You didn't give me the right response because you didn't give me time to say, I'm running with it.
That's right. I'm not giving you that time. I'm not giving you that space. Mark loves this movie. Let's move on. Joining us for this episode, he is a returning guest. If you remember from our DEF CON 4 episode, Of course you remember. All of you remember. He's an actor, comedian. You've seen him on The Middle. You've seen him on the Guardians of the Galaxy YouTube show. Please welcome back Tommy Bechtold to the show.
Hi. Oh, woo-hoo! Anything criminal justice, you got me. Anytime there's a trial, I'm in.
Right. I have some questions like, do you know of the old show of The Incredible Hulk and Daredevil? But really, I wanted to know, like, how into trials are you?
Well, let's just say business law, 10th grade, I wrongfully convicted a man of fraud due to student popularity. He was improperly defended by the defense team, and I got the votes from the jury because they liked me better. I was more affable.
Yeah.
I was funnier. I was like a little looser. You know, I might have said a couple swear words. Also, do I know the old Hulk show? You better believe I do. Mr. Okay, Rogers has a great episode where he explains that Lou Ferrigno's nothing to be afraid of. He shows us Bill Bixby and Lou Ferrigno. They do the whole makeup thing. And I spent my whole life thinking Lou Ferrigno was a doll. Until 2 years ago when I did the show The Offer with Lou Ferrigno, and he beat the shit out of me for 8 hours in our scene.
That's right. That's right.
Was deleted, unfortunately, but he did. He beat me up and couldn't have been nicer about it. But it was eight hours of him slapping me around.
Was he kind of Jean-Claude Van Damme about it, or did he
not
hit
you? No, he was very
you?
Gentle and terrified. That he, after every single take, he apologized profusely, didn't need to, and kept saying, like, what are you doing? And I was like, nothing. You're doing great. You can. Like, he kept saying if he was a little younger, he would just lift me up himself instead of me doing some of the, like, lifting for him.
Okay, sure.
He's like, oh, I could do it. They won't let me. I was like, I'm sure they can, Lou. And at the end of the day, for the first time in my entire career, I asked him to take a picture with me, and we took a picture into direct sunlight. And he said... He told me that was horrible and then took a better picture. So it was great because I got cut out of the show ultimately. But the proof I have is me and Lou in a nice little selfie. So
that's nice. Wow. And you have this experience of getting your ass kicked by the Incredible Hulk.
I mean,
that is, and I did not even know that story before we got you into this. And that's incredible.
I saved it. I saved it for you.
That's awesome.
It's on no socials. You saved it purely for this. That's wonderful.
Just this podcast where I always give my exclusive scoops.
Just any, hey, the door is always open. Let us know when you need to get on and get a just scoop out.
Newsflash, everybody. We'll get to the movie in a minute, but I got to tell you the word on the street.
Before we get to the movie, it's time for Tommy's Scoops.
Yeah. And I will say I normally find most like on-set experiences are pretty mundane, but it was hilarious to have this poor guy over and over again have to just kick the shit out of me. And that was the whole point was that he was just very angry with me. And then it got turned into a, like, we understand the editing process. one of the characters said, he beat up the caterer, and I knew I was cut out of the show. Because I was like, why would they say that as a lie earlier in the episode? I was like, I'm out of this thing.
So you didn't know, though, until you saw the episode.
No, they promoted me in the episode that day. I was like, all right, here we go. Stardom, here we come. But, you know, you take the good, you take the bad, add them up, and what do you have? The trial of the Incredible Hulk.
That's right, Tommy. You're joining us for Mark's Miserable Marvelous May 2. More miserable. And that's where we talk about all the movies released by New World Pictures when they owned Marvel, because they owned Marvel in the late 80s. And it's Mark's favorite month. So good.
I look forward to it every year.
Mark, what's your favorite MCU film?
I mean, there's so many to pick from.
Name one of them. Name a single one of them. Their full real title. And don't look it up.
The Wrath of Khan?
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Extremely good one. Extremely good one. A lot of fan favorite.
Good.
All right, and of course we are gathered together to talk about 1989's The Trial of the Incredible Hulk.
David Banner wanted to end the running. He wanted to live in peace.
You have to stop someplace.
But once again, they made him angry. Maybe angry enough to kill.
Maybe I belong in a cage.
Now, imprisoned, he will struggle to hide the fury within him. But he will not succeed.
I can't stand trial. You have no choice.
Because now David Banner faces his greatest trial. The trial of the Incredible Hulk.
I mean, what a great movie.
I feel like it's important to know 4 years later, Jurassic Park came out. The leap in cinema from 89 to 93 is truly tremendous. Incredible.
Yeah.
Maybe
incredible for Jurassic Park. Not as much for the trial.
Yeah.
But yes, 1989's Trial of the Incredible Hulk, brought to you by Wilson's Hover Rafts. Say goodbye to traffic, because you'll never be bumper to bumper again in Wilson's Hover Rafts. We've taken the technology of an airboat, put it on a raft, and decided it was aerodynamic. And somehow it is. How is it possible, you ask? We just don't know. But don't let that stop you from enjoying a brisk ride in the sky with Wilson's Hover Rafts.
Oh, wow. Wow, that is perfect. That is perfect.
Nice.
I mean, more great movies need hover rafts.
They do. Yeah. They do. This is directed and produced and starring Bill Bixby, just like he did with the other two Incredible Hulk movies we talked last year, The Death of the Incredible Hulk, because when it comes to franchises at this podcast, we like to start in reverse franchise order. So we'll get eventually to The Return of the Incredible Hulk, probably next year. But he was doing more directing than acting at this point. In fact, he had recently directed two episodes of a New World TV show called Murphy's Law that never went beyond one Murphy's episode. Yeah. It was like lasted for like six episodes.
But yeah.
You didn't have to live it long.
I was the only one.
He also directed eight episodes of New World's Sledgehammer TV show as well.
Yeah.
He loved directing, as he told the Canadian Press in 1989. He says, the thing I love about directing is that you have to make a decision every 10 seconds. That makes it very interesting. I never get bored directing. There's no time, said Bill Bixby, and I, in a condescending tone for no good reason. One of the most lovely gentlemen by all accounts, and I just said to make him sound like a jerk.
Arrogant, though. I mean, come on. It's a little full of himself, but that's what happens when you direct Murphy's Law. And as I always say, Murphy Brown, I'm down. Murphy's Law, hell no. And that's how it went for me.
That's just one of your sayings. That's just one of your you've always said that. I've always heard you say that. That's your catchphrase. I love that one. It's a great one. He also loved Vancouver, which he discovered as a location and used it for this. he discovered it while shooting those Murphy's Law episodes. And he said to the Canadian press, quote, I immediately started looking for a property, meaning another project. It's just too beautiful a city and the people are great. He was talking about moving to Vancouver and becoming a citizen. And he had a secret other television show that he wanted to make there. I'm not sure he ever made it, but he did shoot The Death of the Incredible Hulk also in Vancouver. This also stars Rex Smith as Matt Murdock, a.k.a. Daredevil. Smith
yes,
was,
it does.
Smith, it does. He's in this. There's no doubt about it. Smith was a singer who became a Broadway musical actor that appeared in such shows as The Pirates of Penzance. He was also in the film version. And Grease on Broadway. And then he secured this top 10 hit called Take My Breath Away. Not that Take My Breath Away.
I don't know what to say. You take my breath away. You're every song I sing. You're the music that I play. And you take my breath away.
Now, is it wrong for me to admit that I remember that song?
No. Oh!
It's what, 1979? It was a top 10 hit, yeah. So I'm sure it was played on repeat. I seen the album cover for this one, I went, I've seen that record.
Yeah,
I've totally seen that record places.
That's a pretty big flex to, like, say someone takes your breath away and hold the note for that long. It's impressive. It'd be a lot better if he was like, you take my breath away. Take my breath away.
And then the rest of the song is just an music. Instrumental.
Just him like,
he's going to choke the videos of him choking and trying to pound some breath back into himself.
Did he star with Lou Diamond Phillips in any of those musicals?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think so. He was, though, he was also in the short-lived 1985 TV series Street Hawk. Do you remember Street Hawk, Mark?
I don't.
He was on a motorcycle. He was a policeman on a motorcycle. It lasted one whole season. And, interestingly, was also up for the role of Batman and Tim Burton's adaptation that was released the same year. In fact, he was told by an executive at Warner Brothers that he was going to be the guy. That's what he told IGN. So Warner Brothers wanted him. Tim Burton wanted Michael Keaton. We'll let history decide what happened there.
Yeah. I think they messed up big time with you.
Sorry, Michael Keaton.
Yeah. Whoa.
They screwed up.
They'd still be making Tim Burton Batmans.
If Rex Smith was the guy.
If Rex had gotten the job, we'd still be in that universe.
Yep. But, yeah, no. But instead, he only did two and out. Here's where you
Keaton double dip, as they say.
Another thing you always love to say.
That's good. It's another one of my catchphrases. Sorry, guys.
You can't help yourself. You're nothing without those catchphrases. Here's where you can watch The Incredible Hulk. It's on Pluto and Plex. You can also watch it on this double feature DVD, including Return of the Incredible Hulk as well.
Wow.
Both movies right there. Anytime you want it.
Don't tell your friends, though, because they'll be asking to borrow it constantly.
Yep. Can I borrow it and also a DVD player?
The Incredible Hulk is such an interesting Marvel property because I had so many Incredible Hulk toys growing up. Like, of all action figures, giant size dolls, like diorama, like the Incredible Hulk stayed in the like toy popularity forever. But the show, I feel like it barely, I mean, I was in the zone in the late 80s, early 90s of TV, and it, like the Incredible Hulk wasn't a must see TV thing for me. And I'm wondering now, where did they go wrong?
Yeah. What happened? What did happen? Because they made one more TV movie after this and then it disappeared.
I think Ferrigno got greedy. That's the only excuse.
Well, part of it was
everybody always going to blame Hulk. That's what always happens.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It's not always Hulk's fault, you know.
It It part of it was Bill Bixby passing away, I think.
Yeah, that was a huge, I think, yeah, that, huge that really, component yeah. to the, unfortunately.
They were, as we discussed in our Death of Incredible Hulk, they were trying to make a She-Hulk movie, and they shot part of it. And then they shut down the production, he passed away, and they never picked it back up. And then New World tried to sell a She-Hulk movie with Brigitte Nielsen. Ooh. And that never got off the ground.
Oh,
what
wow.
could have been? What could have been? So it was Hulk was in New World's capable hands, and yet somehow the property died off. I don't know how that happened.
Would Brigitte have just played Hulk, and then another lady would have played?
I don't think they got that far, but they did take publicity photos of her in a She-Hulk outfit. Please go ahead and Google it, everyone.
We'll wait.
Google it now. We'll just pause. Just put the phone down and fill this time with some regular banter while you are Googling.
Was Flavor Flav going to be in it?
Oh. Yes. Please.
But she's dressed as She-Hulk, so certainly she was going to play She-Hulk.
Or maybe she just liked to dress up like She-Hulk.
Maybe they just caught her on a good day. They're like, do you mind if we take some pictures? What if we sell this as a movie? Anybody?
Guys, I think we found lightning in a bottle here. Let's just go ahead and release this.
Jim Wynorski stood up and was like, I'll write a script. They're like, no, this is fantastic. Or I think he was going to direct it. Anyway.
The outfit's much different from Lou's that Brigitte wears. I will say that much. If that's going to entice anybody to Google it. It's very different. It's very different.
All right, let's talk about what this movie is about. Mark, what is Trial of the Incredible Hulk about?
Edgar's climbing his way up the corporate ladder. He's the Hulk of the office. He drives a nice car, has a dashing wardrobe. He thought he had everything until he met Maria. She's beautiful, funny, and being held hostage by Edgar's boss. Edgar's about to let go of his Philo lifestyle and take a chance on love. Can love endure the trial of a hostage situation? Find out in Trial of the Incredible Hulk.
Very good. Tommy.
Oh, Tom is fine.
What do you prefer?
Oh, Thomas? It's real weird. I have like two friends that call me Tom, and I roll with it. Everyone else calls me Tommy. So either way, it's fine.
I've never called you anything other than Tommy. That's why I felt
until so. When I demanded it, I always am like, you call me Tommy or else.
You're always another really one of your common phrases.
That's it.
I have two friends I let get away with that bullshit. Yeah. And that
Barack
is it.
Obama and Tommy Lee Jones. That's it.
Frankly, it's just because I'm too intimidated to correct him.
That's right. He won't stop. Sometimes he calls
me Tommy
Alan.
Lee Jones, you have to, because that's two Tommies, and that's fucking confusing. Yeah,
exactly.
So you got it.
Yeah. And I always say that's too many Tommies. Anyway, back to the movie.
So he got you cut you to the quick and just said, you're Tom.
That's right.
You were like, damn. Yeah. Damn.
I said, you got it, boss. And he said, don't ever look at me. And I said, okay.
That would be the cutest movie ever. Too Many Tommies, starring Tommy Lee Jones and Tommy Pechtold.
It's mostly just me crying. It'll be great. I'm sorry. I hate to upset you.
Tommy, what is this movie about?
To me, it's about two things. Redemption, reviving. Using the word reviving as a term for waking up from a medical thing and not bringing someone back from the dead.
Okay.
And what it's also about, following your dreams. Even if those dreams mean attacking an entire courtroom, choking a man out, throwing a man through a window, and eventually ultimately escaping from prison, your dreams will set you free. Literally. Your dreams will set you free.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
It's very true. Very true.
John Bluth taught us that in The Land Before Time, and Bill Bixby threw the hammer down in The Trial of the Incredible Hulk. And I say, what a double feature. Land Before Time, Trial of the Incredible Hulk, you got yourself a Sunday.
He was like, I just hope someone's going to get it. The dreams will set you free.
People get that this dream sequence is a metaphor. I hope.
I hope. I hope people get
literal.
it. I had to explain it, actually, that it was a dream sequence later to Erica, because she was so confused that there was no trial.
I mean, yeah, a lot of this movie is, I will say, edited creatively. There are some jumps.
Thank you. Thanks, you.
It's a little bit of a who's to say. I like to call that like a who's to say type movie. Mm-hmm. You take it one way, I take it another. Who's sure. to say?
Who's to say? Exactly. Mm. All and the all answer opinions is always count.
Scorsese.
Well, Scorsese's in Mark's camp on this one, I have a feeling. So let's not worry about Scorsese in this episode. It's cinema. That's right. Erica, what is this movie about?
This movie is about what lengths it takes for a lady to get some help from a man.
That's very true. That is so true.
Really,
Yeah.
Takes a lot to get a little fucking help sometimes.
Yeah, a lot. A lot.
A lot.
And sometimes you have to just uniquely escape death in order to get it.
Mm-hmm. A couple of times.
For reasons that, I don't know, are loose. But for me, this movie was about the common man.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically, a building manager who just wanted to talk Tinker Toys with someone. But
the greatest.
Unfortunately, could find no one to have that conversation with.
Yeah.
What an incredible landlord. My God, all I thought was, in 1989... landlords were depicted as heroes in film. Now landlords are pretty much the villains of most people's stories. And it's like, this man just wanted a fresh coat of paint and someone to talk to.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, that's it.
Always like, hey, you going to stick around? That's all they wanted.
Mm-hmm. Just talk to me, baby. And he was like, leave me alone.
Oh, where was he even going that day? We'll get into it. Let's get to the Letterboxd synopsis. We're on Letterboxd. Give us a follow there. Tommy, are you on Letterboxd?
I'm not, but that's because I'm uncultured.
No. That is not where your culture is found. So don't worry about that. It's just people's opinions about movies. Oh, that's all
I love the idea of it. I'm such a bad critic. I'm always like, every movie's great in its own way. So I feel like I would just get destroyed on Letterboxd. Where I'm like,
No, you'd be perfectly fine. People love that. Positivity reigns on the internet. People love that.
Yeah, I think it's time for me to dip
my toe. It always wins. It always gets the most attention and wins out.
You're right. I'm back in. I'm going to Letterboxd tonight.
As soon as anybody does a negative opinion on the internet, they're like, get out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. How dare
great
you?
Great internet lords, unhook them because they're not allowed back here.
Guys, I don't know what this guy's problem is. He's a little bit of a negative Nelly. Let's get him out of here.
You're kicked out. Here's the synopsis. On the run again, Dr. David Banner is jailed for assault after interrupting a mugging. We're off. I mean,
hold on. He's not on the run. He's on a walkabout. That's all he's doing.
Yeah. But he's on the run as he always is.
From himself.
But he's not jailed for... He's not jailed for assault for interrupting a mugging, right?
Because he doesn't interrupt shit.
Yeah, he's jailed because they couldn't find the actual culprit, so they grabbed him. Right?
Well, in an alley. She said that he did it because the gangster guys were threatening to kill her if she didn't.
And
he wasn't interrupt. There's no statute in Los Angeles, New York, or city that that where you interrupt a mugging and they're like, well, off to jail with you.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay.
You talk about the great city of San Francouver Angeles.
It's just called city. It's called city, Mark.
I'll be honest. Like most good movies, the city is a character in the movie. It's definitely.
Yeah, it sure is. You
know, sure
it really is.
Blind attorney Matt Murdock enlists Banner's help in locating the muggers because he believes they work for his longtime foe, Fisk.
Yes.
Is this a longtime foe? Is this really a thing?
Yes, but he mentions that he's been like trying to go after the underground since his dad was put away by the mob.
Mm. Okay.
He mentions that very briefly.
Right, but oh,
what did you talk about Fisk? Yes, he did say, like, at one point in time, he says to people in his office, he says, we're eventually going to bring that building down brick by brick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
That building's not made of bricks.
Mm-hmm.
Is the response from Al, the least helpful person alive.
Also, they fill poor Al with, like, every terrible trait of anyone. Just yes. So he's just this sort of, like, multifaceted terrible person.
Yeah, he just does everything wrong. He's Al. He's a perfect
he's
Al.
He's Al. Yeah. The head of an international crime network, Fisk. But David, afraid of public exposure, breaks out of jail as the Hulk. That's what he was afraid of.
Yes.
I'm nervous about getting people figuring this out, so let me turn into the Hulk and break out. Then nobody will know.
Yeah.
That'll cover up all my tracks.
Right.
Ah.
Let me turn into the Hulk in an establishment that's known to have cameras everywhere.
Yeah.
Tracking David down, Murdoch reveals his own secret.
Are we still reading the letterbox synopsis?
We're halfway through.
The Stephen King wrote this letterbox
synopsis. Oh my God.
He did it under an alias, but it was still, we all know it's him. We all know it's him.
Kevin Sting. It's an
anime. Murdoch reveals his own secret. His blindness came from a radioactive spill, and after developing his other senses so incredibly in the incredible... anyway, whatever. Come on, guy. Work harder. There's other adjectives. Anyway, he has become the amazingly, athletic crime fighter called Daredevil. I got what I asked for. Anyway, Fisk must now face off against Daredevil and the Incredible Hulk. Nope, he doesn't. Just Daredevil.
Nope. Not even close.
Sorry. Nope. Total miss on that one. Total whiff. That's somebody who did not see the movie. They're just like, I guess he fights them in the end?
Let me guess what this movie was about. I'm going to write it down.
Did anyone see this movie? No. Oh well, we'll go with it.
I'm gonna wing it. You guys mind? Wow. I mean, I think well put. Not. I wouldn't say succinctly put, but I will say
I would just say put.
It was put.
But also, weirdly leaving out some major. I mean, they got to the Hulk breaking out of jail, which was not early in the film.
Kind of a spoiler on that one, really.
Yeah.
But what they got right is that David Banner is kind of on the run, running around, finding odd jobs. But he's out in the world, cursed with the Hulk inside of him, as he talks about. And he gets a job. But also we learned that David Banner has a very punchable face.
Yes. That's very true.
If you spend a few days with him, you kind of just want to push him into a murky little river. You know?
I think that logic checks out to me so soundly. You have a hyper intellectual that's doing manual labor, hard blue collar labor. You know that person's going to be insufferable, correcting you, anecdotally explaining things that are so I'm shocked that more of the Incredible Hulk isn't just him getting beaten up by construction workers. That checks out. I mean, I work at a machine shop now, and I'll tell you what, if I even look at people the wrong way, they immediately start to go after me. It's a very scary environment. You gotta
really watch yourself.
Brains. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I can't say that I blame them. He perpetually wears a button down shirt tucked into jeans, no belt.
Yeah.
If there's ever a reason to punch someone square in the face, it's that. Put on a fucking belt. What kind of psychopath are you?
Yeah, we are at the tail end of Miami Vice's reign on not only our TV screens, but our fashion senses. Get some help, buddy.
Get a belt. Get some help. Get a belt. Figure it out.
But also, as I said, Banner just has to move to city.
Yeah.
What city? Let's find out.
Where will you go?
The city.
That's not a good place. People get lost.
Because people get lost in the city.
You have to stop someplace.
Right.
What? Right. No, that's your whole point. You never stop.
You never stop. He's also been I've got to hide myself away because I got this beast inside me. Well, off to a city. off to where city. I could be triggered in any moment. Let's do it.
Yeah, but this city you can get lost in.
True. Yeah, right.
It's like a lost city, but not like a lost city like you can't find it. It's like you can't find yourself.
That's in the city for you.
Because you get lost.
That's city.
City life.
City represent.
But just to be clear. Team?
City. I'm a city guy.
Oh, yeah. Me too. Yeah.
I love city. And when I can't root for city, I always root for state.
Right. I'm more of a county guy. I just like county.
Oh, but, You would. My cousin roots for town. He's a real asshole. Whoa.
What's the matter with that guy?
And then I got this fancy buddy who loves municipality. That's what he's into.
Right.
You should see I have one friend who went to Harvard. He roots for tri-state area. It's insane.
That's too much, dude.
Yeah.
Pick one.
I hate it. He's such a blowhard.
So just to be clear, though, the woman that had hired him, the woman in that scene, like, I just want to make sure I understood, right? Like, she was down to pound, right?
Yeah, she was in love with him.
Yeah, loving him. Being like, I was kind of hoping you'd stick around. He's been there for maybe a few days.
Yeah.
Maybe.
He's also covered in mud and water.
Right.
Everyone's got a kink.
Yeah, true.
So he is like, that's the thing about David Banner. He is at alternate times punchable or kissable. Like, you want to do one or the other, because the landlord is really into him too. I mean, really. Like, I mean, no short order. Speaking of who dares to live in the city? Guess who dares to live in city? Daredevil dares. Because that's where that's where his firm is located.
Mm-hmm.
The trustee Nelson and Murdoch. No, wait, sorry, no. Murdoch and Klein.
Mm.
That famous one from the comics.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Suck it, Foggy. You're out, bud.
you're out, dude. We don't need you, buddy. We don't need
We've got Al. We don't need you.
We've got Al. We've got Madeline Klein, which is the name of the clone that Cyclops has a baby with that becomes Cable, for crying out loud.
That's Madeline Pride.
Pride, you're right. I'm sorry. Leave me alone.
That's true. Oh, Tommy just punched me through the screen. And he pushed me into this water.
I thought they were trying to do Marvel.
No.
Like Marvel name dropping, but you're right.
Yeah, no, they don't do a lot of that. In fact, it was just weird enough that they even started to include other characters in these Incredible Hulk TV movies. That was kind of a bold step forward. A bold step that Mark appreciates. Krista Klein.
Loved it. Loved it so much. I know you loved it.
Yeah.
When they introduce a character like Daredevil.
What I said was right.
They introduced Daredevil, and when I say they waste no time introducing him, they introduce him as though we should just automatically know that he's Daredevil.
Correct.
There's no, and everyone just knows who he is. Oh, it was Daredevil. I'm like, oh, wait, Daredevil entered the scene? Okay. Yeah. So that was the guy in all black. Okay.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it would have been nice if you had given me a little bit of an introduction that this was going to happen.
Eventually, he does jump out a window or something, I think in the hospital room, and a guy walks out to in the subway, they do have Daredevil rules written on the wall.
But then later,
they have in the hospital scene when he attacks the guys that are trying to kill Maria.
Right. Then he jumps out the window, Daredevil, and the guy goes, here.
Daredevil.
Right. But I you don't know that. At least I didn't know that until he says
it. Daredevil.
Now we got it. And I didn't see the subway. I didn't see the graffiti on the subway because I was so taken away by how much fun this movie is. Just so much fun.
You know, they were trying to get you with all those blind gags where they were like constantly like,
oh boy,
nice,
so many.
We've come a long way with Charlie Cox's portrayal of Matt Murdock from poor Rex Smith. He is making no effort to pretend that he is a blind person. He is literally just engaging with the world ocularly the entire movie, and then every once in a while, very condescendingly raising his cane to be like, but I'm blind. It's like, you've shown none of that with your acting. So that's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was like, so this guy is blind, right? But he can also see? Cool, I got it. I think
I got a bit
of
both.
Pretty good. Think I got it.
When he gingerly just walks down the staircase of his apartment and looks around the room, head turning side to side, then whips out the cane. And I was like, oh, I mean, good for him. He's been like, I want people to believe that I can see.
Well, the very first thing that he does is when he wakes up is that he perfectly hits the alarm, and then he gets up and opens up the windows like he's Ferris Bueller on a wonderful, beautiful, sunny school day, and just looks out at city, and he's just like,
city.
Time to go to work, you know? And so you would have no idea, really, that it's Matt Murdock unless, you know, you're me, and you're like, yep, he's Matt Murdock. Who works with his partner, Krista Klein, played by Nancy Everhard, who also appears in New World's The Punisher, which we will also be talking about this month.
Can't wait.
She's in both. Cannot wait. She is having a busy month on this podcast.
Wow. It's Klein time, everybody. Don't worry.
She's like, finally. Yes. Finally.
I have been waiting patiently for my time. Here we go.
Right. Someone who does not appear in The Punisher is Wilson Fisk, a.k.a. the Kingpin. Not called the Kingpin in this, and in the synopsis, only called Fisk. But he does appear quarterbacking a diamond heist in his requisite headset and reflecting blue blockers. That
he can see so much clearer with those.
For a heist scene, I really enjoyed the.
It was good.
How technically sound he was at, as you say, quarterbacking. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? This is really efficient. He's really good at this. They're showing us this guy is a pro. I'm into it. I like it.
He's leaving no room for error. Like, he's right there, so he's not leaving his guys until they get to the underground, at which point his two guys are like, oof, cool diamond heist. Check out that babe. Let's hit on her.
We better be like, as obvious as possible that we're bad guys after this massive felony we just committed.
Right.
Not the time to play it cool, for sure.
By the way, playing the Kingpin is John Rhys Davies of Lord of the Rings, Indiana Jones fame. Yes.
I am the monarch of the sea.
Also, I mean, famously, Anaconda 4, and 3 on 4. I mean, just, you know, you can't get enough of him in those, you know. It seems like a bigger appearance than just the special appearance that he's billed for, but because he's in it quite a bit. I was like, special appearance. Oh, I guess he's only in it a bit. But actually, he's in there quite often.
Yeah.
Good negotiations by his agent to get that title card, I guess. But you're right. He's special a title card. Cast member, and he can't. There's no takey backsies on that. So
you're in this. You're in this damn movie. But as I said, unfortunately, a good criminal operation is only as good as its workers. And the Kingpin's men immediately screw this up. On the subway, they're hitting on this girl. Also on the subway, David Banner, who doesn't want to get involved. Because, I mean, you know,
city.
I didn't come to city for this.
No.
Yep.
This ain't the city life I wanted. And by the way, boy oh boy, does he wait to act. Holy. I call the two bad guys the two Cranstons, because to me they remind me of two Bryan Cranston performances, but two very different ones. I was like, these guys are total. One's blonde guy is Goofy Cranston. Brunette guy is dramatic Cranston, and they both resemble him just enough that I'm like, he could have Eddie Murphy'd this and played both guys. if he was doing a little better in 89, I think he was mostly commercials then.
Yeah, he wasn't. He wasn't doing as well. I was trying to remember the other movie. He was like doing crew work on some movies.
Oh yeah, but I always say inside me there are two Cranstons, and you, whichever one comes out.
Cranston the clown, I always the Cranston say that. The dramatic. That's another one you're saying.
Comedy tragedy masks for me, but they're just Cranstons.
They're just Cranston's face, smiling or frowning.
Smiling or frowning, but you know who's frowning? This poor lady, because David Banner won't help her.
Banner. My God, dude.
He will not.
But eventually he changes into Hulk, so he has to get involved. But that I don't think was that makes him look like a hero, but he's not. Then he's caught with the police because he's back in an alleyway, back as Banner, with no shirt, but his pants are perfectly fine. How does that work?
Yeah,
there's not a stitch was busted on that.
Well, I've got to say, at this point, he's probably tried a few different pairs of pants and knows which manufacturers have the right elasticity to stay snug on him when he bulges up.
Is that like you think like a Champion? Definitely not an Izod. I don't think Nike has the integrity.
It has to have some sort of. There has to be a little bit of stretchiness to it. You know,
sure.
I feel like maybe Adidas. But it's maybe most likely a Champion pant. Mm.
Or it could be some and ones.
Yeah.
He's got going.
Sure. Mm-hmm. What about Big Dog? Big Dog was pretty popular around then. Big Dog.
Right.
I would love it if that's what he was wearing. I hope that that's what he was wearing. So he screws up. They screw up his guys. Kingpin's mad, but he has a plan.
Fisk. Did you hear?
Edgar, I want you to bring in more hawks to keep the pigeons off the roof.
Yes, sir.
And have them in
the room. They say he improvised the second part of that line. It was just supposed to be about the hawks.
I love where his priority levels are. Look, number one, most important, we got to bring in more hawks. This is insane. I hate these
pigeons.
That's
how you know he's evil.
But also, as an aside, how about we kill that Mendez woman? Just as a, why not? Just to clean up.
Tie up some loose ends.
Because he's in jail, this of course leads to our trial, which is...
not a trial. It's
not
a dream.
Not a trial.
Just a dream.
Just a dream sequence where he imagines himself in trial. He does not wear his stretchy pants. He wears the classic purple pants.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he changes into, which I think is the first time that was ever done in these movies or TV show. And he gets yelled at, turns into the Hulk, chokes out the defense attorney.
Kicks the prosecuting attorney, the security guard, out a window.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, yeah. Right. I mean, does some damage and nearly kills Stan Lee.
Good God.
And almost kills the entire jury.
Of which Stan Lee is the jury foreman.
You know, I played a jury member in The Incredible Hulk, The Trial. It was amazing. One of my finest films. Good old Stan.
Anyway, but I have a question. Okay. I'm willing to go with the fact that his eyes turn white, that he turns green.
I love that.
And doubles in size, tears through his shirt, tears through his shoes. I'm willing to accept that. But how does it happen that when he's
an
Incredible Hulk, he also loses his beard and gets a wig from somewhere?
Right.
Yeah, yeah, the beard migrates. Yeah. It goes up his
face.
That's right.
Because his head doubles in size.
Erica's right. It's that Willy. Remember the little Willy guy that you would move with magnets?
Yeah. It's like that.
It's that technology. Yeah. He has a magnetic scalp and face. And much like our friend Willie, everything just migrates north when he's angry.
I didn't expect such a well-thought response to my question.
I didn't know I had it in me either. Honestly, I'm exhausted. That's it. That was my Jordan flu game moment. I'm done.
Wow. I no longer have an issue. I'm good.
He does go back to prison. And Mark, just for the record, he is in prison, right?
He's not in jail.
He is in prison. I want to make sure I have it right.
He's in the prison of City.
City prison. Oh, I hate that city prison. Oh, this is rough.
I had a cousin go to city prison once. It was brutal.
Oh, are you living in City? Is that the one with prison?
I spent some time in City. I think I told you I had a theater scholarship at City Arts. And we did Pippin, Scotty Pippin's biography, the musical.
I love that one. It's such a good show.
Lasted three shows, then was canceled due to what can best be described as numerous death threats. And I left City for Farm. I went to Farm. And I'm happy.
What's funny is that David Banner.
Well, as you should, because that's his name.
Right, of course. is that David Banner leaves Farm to go to City. It's just such a marvelous thing. I forgot one thing. Stan Lee, because he was in that jury scene, he had a bird's eye view, I guess, eventually, not in the scene, but eventually of the Daredevil costume. He had this to say in this book, "You Wouldn't Like Me When I'm Angry," a Hulk companion. He says this about the costume. He says, When I saw Daredevil's costume in Trial of the Incredible Hulk, I noticed that he didn't have any eyes on his mask. I said, hey, where is his eyes? And they said, he's blind, right? And I yelled, yeah, but nobody's supposed to know he's blind.
Not bad logic from Stan.
I mean,
not, you know.
Wait till he hears when Daredevil admits later to the henchman that he is indeed blind.
Right. Also, I think Stan thinking ahead to the MCU where they're like, we can't have Iron Man have his mask on all the time. We got to see the faces of these movie stars if we're going to pay them millions of dollars. So I think maybe he was worried about the precedent being set of a completely masked Daredevil. He's like, we got to at least see his eyes. So
yeah.
But funny enough, for that costume, it was eventually incorporated into the comics, the black outfit.
I thought the costume looked great, to be honest with you.
The first season of the Daredevil TV show, he wears the black costume. So it becomes a thing, Mark. So
there's a TV show?
Three seasons of it, Mark.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, boy. If you don't like
guys, Ben Affleck is Mark's only Daredevil, okay? Let's just keep it pure, all right? That's
Wake me up inside. He's a huge Evanescence guy.
We're not talking about that, but oh, my God. When she's slicing through those sandbags and stuff, oh, my God. What an incredible movie. Wish we were talking about that. We're not. We're talking about this. we do get two endings. For your money, we get one
it's
where Daredevil.
It's
you get
it's
one
like,
where
it's like Clue. You get. To,
it could,
but you don't get a choice. No.
Yeah,
these are your two endings. You get them both. One where Daredevil gets his ass kicked, and then Daredevil or Bruce, where David Banner says, "Hey, you got to get yourself back out there," and then that's where he gets his butt kicked in Kingpin's lair, and then the second ending. It's a little bit different. He breaks into Kingpin's lair again, but this time David goes with him. So, and this time we finally get the final showdown. Nope, he's out the door. See you, Kingpin. He's in his car. Bye.
Car? Question mark.
He's in his Wilson's hover raft, and he takes.
At least Daredevil pats the body of the hovercraft a couple of times in an effort to deter it. He goes, like, as if he's going off to sea to fight a war, he gives it three encouraging pats instead of like, dude, you're a superhero. Shaquille O'Neal spiked that thing. Come on. Give it a little guff for crying out loud.
Yeah, do something.
I mean, this is a guy that was doing triple gainers off the roof of a building. He couldn't have jumped onto that thing?
Nope.
Come on.
Nope. He doesn't have a pocket knife or a toothpick. He can just poop, just pop a hole in it.
It's not how he works.
He has that little staff that he used to destroy the security camera, which was amazing.
That was incredible. When he pulls and he takes the light bulb out too, wow.
Mm-hmm.
What a great use of that. Also, what they show us as his vision is basically just early MS-DOS computer games from like that's just what he sees is like how we used to move around.
It's like the camera had a negative filter and you get to like pop in a negative filter and you're like, ooh, and we're hey, if we get out some of that color in that negative filter and just make it outlines, perfect. Yeah. That'll be
that's
cool.
Murdoch vision.
That's Murdoch vision.
Even,
I love
even
it.
Even the Predator would be like, wow, that's bad.
Wow. Yeah.
I loved it though. But yes, to think that 4 years later we got Jurassic Park, you're like,
yeah. I think of that like that chasm of like 88 to like 93 is such an incredible like period in the way movies look and feel. I mean, even it was already starting. Like, I mean, Keaton's Batman was 89 and that movie looked pretty legit. Like, you still watch it today and be like, wow, that's a pretty impressive film. But like, man, the development in those 5 years where you get all the movies that came out in that time period, like even Forrest Gump, all those movies, you're like, wow, holy hell, the way these movies look are so different than they were 4 years ago. So
I would venture to guess, though, you're right, but I suspect the budget for Trial of the Incredible Hulk was slightly less than Jurassic Park.
Of course. It's still a TV. It's actually 400. It's $400 million from what I heard. It was a Christmas gift to Stan Lee's daughter.
Look, we got to pull out all the stops for Charles the Incredible Hulk. We got to give him everything they need. Bixby's up there in Canada, and he's just like, I need $200 million more dollars. We're
going to lose him. He's going to become a Canadian citizen. We got to keep Bixby happy. I can't do a 4th of July without Bill. We don't have a nation without Bill Bixby.
Look at what he's already looking Murphy's at property. That's
right. Yeah, he's looking at property.
He's house hunting.
He's house hunting and he's a homebody. You know, once he finds a property, he's just going to dig in.
Never
he's
going to
get the garden started. We'll never see him again.
You'll never see him again. Erica.
Wake me up inside. Da, 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 da.
Wrong movie. Oh, wrong movie.
Ooh. I just got distracted by things I loved and things I don't want to do it, guys. No. No. Things I hated.
Oh. Let's talk about the things we love and the things we hated about the Trial of the Incredible Hulk. Mark, what's something you loved? I mean, I'm sure there's a whole laundry list, but just throw one thing out there.
I loved Al. I loved that Al, you know, here's a guy who isn't particularly great at his job, but he puts in the time. He has missed consecutive parent-teacher conferences. He's missed the last three wedding anniversaries with his wife because he's always at the office because he knows at any moment.
Be on ropes for Al. Like, they got to be like, you got one more miss and then you're out, Al.
Right. Yeah. But he's like, I know, but I could get a call where we need to look at a map and that can happen at any time. And I know I could bring the map home. I know I could do that, but it's better if I leave it at the office.
Off the wall? You're going to bring it home? I may need this city map. It's a map of city. I may need it. I'm going to take it home.
I love just city. I want to have the map.
I hope it doesn't get all smashed up on the subway.
On subway.
On subway. On city subway. I take city bus, but they don't run this late.
City bus is closed.
Well, I guess I'm sleeping in the office again. I love his commitment to his craft.
He was. He was committed. He really was. Mm-hmm. And for his efforts, they wanted to fire him. So
yeah. And by the way, the man's a war hero, and we're just taking it all for granted.
Yeah.
Thank you for your service, Al. You're the punching bag at this office.
Yeah. I was like, that's why I was saying, like, he was such a convenient just throw everything at his character. I'm like,
oh, yeah.
He is a guy that they can't stand who's so exacting and weird and awkward, but also a veteran and also works all the time. And like, what is this guy?
Dying loyalty to Matt Murdock and yet also... Yeah, seemingly also, verbally
are we
abused.
Get rid of him or what?
Yeah. We may have to downsize from 3 to 2. And I hate to tell you, it's not going to be Krista.
Yeah, I think he's not the only person of color, but there's not many. They're in short
supply. It's not a lot, I'll say that. It's not a ton.
Yeah. Tommy, what is something you loved?
Okay, something I loved is that this takes place in a world where a vital sign tracker can electrocute a person to death. The monitor that tells you whether or not a person's vital signs are stable or they're in need of help. If you throw a person into that tiny, slender metal pole with a 4x8 inch box, they will be electrocuted to their death. And to me, that's how all good 80s, every 80s movie should have a person being electrocuted by something that wouldn't really electrocute them in real life.
Right.
That was so perfect. It was such a great character death for that evil nurse. It's so ridiculous.
It takes a lot of juice to run that thing. Yeah. It takes a lot of juice.
Yeah.
The thing's got European outlets. It's crazy.
We have to keep changing. They have to keep changing the breakers all the time in that place.
Guys, I'm sorry we shorted out again. I hate it, but we gotta keep track of the heart rate. But,
those heart rate monitors, you know, they suck it all up. They suck up all the power,
all the juice in this hospital. It's everything we got. I hate city sometimes.
City hospital. It is what it is.
City hospital.
Erica, what is something you loved?
I loved a lot of little things. Such as the zoom in on Matt's ear to, I guess, imply that he has good hearing, because he hasn't covered that yet with David. So they had to just zoom in like, oh, he can hear this with his ear. Or when Al puts him on speakerphone, like they zoomed into the speaker of the phone to be like, he's conferencing this. You can hear, you don't have, he doesn't have to hold the receiver up to his ear. That kind of, those just little things made me laugh. But I think most of all, I just really love Turk. Bad guy with a heart of gold, can't keep his mouth shut, comes upon a little money, he's ready to spend it on everybody in the bar, just trying to buy everybody a drink. Poor old Turk gets busted again.
Turk was awesome.
He was.
Oh, Turk.
And from the comics, Turk is his usual guy he goes to for the word on the street. At the, I think it's like the No Name Bar that they usually, he goes. And I also love that exchange too, where the cop comes in there and like busts it up, and the like old guy at the bar is like, is Turk still buying drinks? And he like gives him some money, and he's like, how about some OJ? And he gives him money, and I'm like, buddy, you know he's not going
to
spend that money on OJ.
He's spending that on OJ.
He went back to his seat at the bar. Like, he's not going to, like, well, a wise cop told me to stop drinking so heavily. So I decided to take his advice.
Do you have any liquid IV and a cool glass of water? Time to make some changes.
A cop said something that really changed my mind about stuff.
You know what? Every once in a while, City has some wisdom. You know, City spits some wisdom.
Sometimes City does have wisdom. It's true. It's true. Well, something I loved. I love that little subplot with Edgar Wilson Fisk's assistant falling in love with the poor Ellie Mendez. They had so much to do in this movie, blend the Hulk with Daredevil and make it compelling for an audience to want a whole Daredevil show. And yet they gave the Kingpin's butler a whole story. No, it's also what I hated, because I mean, that little subplot with Edgar Wilson Fisk's assistant falling in love with a poor Ellie Mendez. They had so much to do in this movie, blend the Hulk with Kingpin and make it compelling for an audience to want a whole Daredevil show. And yet they give the Kingpin's butler a whole story.
Yeah, they do.
And they allow him to wear his robe in front of his boss? Ew.
I know.
Put your butler clothes back on. I don't want to see you in your robe.
He jumped right to casual time, like way too fast.
I don't
want to
see behind the scenes. Go Buttle.
Edgar is no Al. I think we know that. Edgar is no Al.
Yeah.
He's definitely no Al.
Because Al is like wearing that cardigan all night. All night long. He's but never.
Sometimes love finds you when you least expect it.
So true.
You know?
That's true. That's true. Other things we hated. Mark, what's something you hated?
There's no fucking trial in this movie.
Thank you. That's I hated. Shit. Let's double down on that. There's no trial.
Yep. I know.
It should have just been the dream sequence of the Incredible Hulk.
And that there.
That's what they should have named it. There's no trial.
Not as catchy, but more accurate for sure.
For sure. Right. They could have said the trial dream sequence of the Incredible Hulk. And just threw Well, there's one thing about, like, you have a movie titled Trial of the Incredible Hulk, and then it gets to it, and it's just a dream sequence. There's no actual trial. It's not a trial. But all the press and everything you read about the movie, the synopsis that I was going through, reading all these old newspaper clippings, and then we heard that trailer, they're always like, he's in for the trial of his life. But he's not. Like, you're leaning so hard into the fact there's a trial. You are absolutely going to make people be like, what was the trial? There's no trial. Yeah. I mean, like,
there's no trial.
You're leaning so hard into it just because you're trying to be like, Daredevil's going to be in it. So check it out. But it's just like, that's unfortunate.
You could argue it's trial in the sense of trial and tribulations. But well, then of course, you could name that every Incredible Hulk movie, or really any movie. Everything could be the trial of the Raiders of the Lost Ark. Or
they could have called Death of the Incredible Hulk the trial of the Incredible Hulk. And the verdict is that you're guilty if that is by death, I guess. If that is what
the ultimate verdict.
The ultimate verdict.
God's final verdict.
So let's not forget he died because he fell out of a plane. Let's never forget. Like I'll never forget.
That's the song they play as he's falling through the air. Oh my gosh.
Oh. and something else. Oh my God. Yeah. They played Evanescence. That was as Lou Ferrigno's pretending to fall through.
I want him to hit the ground and wake up from that too and just be like, it's a dream.
With his same weird roommate in the prison cell being like,
yeah.
He doesn't remember when I tried to kill him, right?
Yeah. I took my glasses off, so he doesn't think it's the same guy, right?
But sometimes I have to put him back on, especially when he breaks out of the cell as a giant monster. Then I need to put my glasses back on. What now?
What?
So, Tommy, what is something you hated?
Okay, my only gripe with this perfect film is that you bring in John Rhys-Davies, and he doesn't fight, and he doesn't fight either of the two heroes. He just gets away on a fan boat. What a paycheck. What a cash grab for JRD. Come on, man, take one punch, or at least a portly little stuntman, have him take a punch for you. Put the glasses on a little guy and have him get knocked out for John. How does he have no physical interactions in this movie?
I know.
What was he? He probably stayed in England. Never was even in Vancouver.
Right.
Yeah. He shot in a separate soundstage out in Vancouver.
He was at Pinewood Studios, just having the time of his life.
Yeah, the only people that showed up were those other like criminals that he gives them all the diamonds and the champagne flutes. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The cabal of nameless villains. That also was that movie screen made of styrofoam. I don't want to bring up other gripes.
Yes,
my main gripe. This
is the absolute time to bring up your gripes.
Yeah. But that's it. That's all I got. Okay. I wanted John to take a punch.
Of course, we wanted to fight with Kingpin. Of course,
yeah.
Which we got it in Mark's favorite Daredevil movie, Daredevil.
Yes. He's right.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Yeah. Erica, what was something you hated?
Oh, I hated the same thing as Mark. I hated there was no trial.
Yeah, no trial. Yeah. Well, now let's switch to our favorite scene. Mark, what was your favorite scene?
My favorite scene is really the ending scene when they fly away, when Edgar and Sala fly away in the land speeder plane rocket. Because it's just like first of all, it looks ridiculous.
Yes.
Yeah. When it flies away, it's a small speedboat looking contraption that I don't think could actually fly in any way possible. It's not aerodynamically sound.
Did you not hear the ad earlier, Mark? I believe. I mean,
please don't speak ill of a sponsor. Now is not the time.
No, first of all, it's really small when they're close to it, but as it flies away, the height of it is about 3 stories of a commercial building.
Definitely. Yep. Like, bigger.
Holy shit, this thing is huge. Yep.
As you get higher in the air, your mass expands, Mark.
That's true.
I don't think it works that way.
That's just science, dude. That's just the science
of Marvel. No more explanations.
I also really loved the scene when they have Ellie Mendez tied to a chair in the middle of a warehouse. All the henchmen are waiting for Daredevil to come. And anytime that they set up that premise, I wonder, you're all standing around in a warehouse. You don't know if Daredevil's going to show up in 10 minutes, tomorrow, 24 hours, 48 hours from now.
Mm-hmm.
And I just imagine they're just standing around going like, can we order pizza?
Yeah, right.
Can we order pizza now? I mean, he's probably not going to show
Craig,
up for another hour.
Craig, how are your kids doing? Your son still playing Little League? He is, yeah. He's pitching now. Yeah.
Focus. Get down there and focus. This is the Kingpin talking. You must focus down there. And they're all like, oh, geez. I mean, like, it's been 4 hours. We're waiting.
I don't know if he's coming. I'm not sure if he's coming.
Can we at least play a game of Uno?
Yeah. Like, just something. Time? I brought the cards,
the deck.
Also, the greatest part of that scene when he does finally come and they're fighting, and then Hulk shows up, and then she just screams, "What is happening?" Because at that point, she's just like, "What the fuck? No one's trying to save me. No. He's carrying Hulk is carrying Daredevil out of here." Like, yes. Like,
can someone married, help me,
just
please?
Just married style, and I'm still here. Tied to a chair.
Oh my God. Yes.
And they go off and have a moment. She's like, I'm still tied
She's
to
like,
the
what
chair.
Is happening? Yeah.
I am not only angry that I'm not saved, I'm also apparently horrible bait because this became very quickly about not me at all.
Yeah. They could not care less about my outcome.
Yeah.
They're yeah. fine with whatever
when in
happens.
In theory, yeah. they went there for her and then
yeah.
just...
And they and were
then,
like...
Mm. And then she gets kidnapped again because yeah. they just care about each other.
Right? Yeah.
It's just a bromance. Yeah. That's all this
it
thing.
Is. It is.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is.
My favorite scene is Daredevil's little origin story, and it's at the end of it, but let's play this clip.
You're asking me who can take on the organization? All right, I'll tell you.
You, Captain?
Yeah, me and a few good judges and good cops and a few attorneys that can be trusted. Maybe somebody who could work alone could do some damage. Maybe somebody could get behind the lines, hit and run, keep himself a secret. Maybe some kind of a, I don't know, crazy daredevil, if you will, could hurt them. You can laugh all you want, but it'll be somebody that they can't kill off, pay off, or scare off.
So I trained very hard. I took myself to what I thought was my limit. And then I went beyond. One day I introduced myself.
And so by introducing himself, he basically flips into a parking lot where that cop in the beginning, who was making that whole speech, is trying to get into his car, scares him, turns around, and goes, huh? They lock eyes, say nothing. And then the cop goes, nods, and it's like, mm-hmm.
This yep. is what I was talking about.
Say
this
no was, more.
This is what I described at that press conference, of which I've given hundreds, but I specifically remember calling to action, this man.
Someone yep. listened to me. I mean, it is like, and not only that, you got to understand, that ending comes after that whole part where he's training himself is a very much not Rex Smith person
Yes.
Basically on the parallel bars.
Yeah. Doing Olympic level gymnastics.
Who's incredibly not Rex Smith. Like,
no.
Very pointedly, you don't need to be that far from the. I watched this on a fucking DVD, okay? Mm. And, like, you're like, well, that's not the actor. I mean, it's not like.
That's definitely.
It's not in 4K that I watched this, you know? It's like, no. not. Well, oh, you think everybody will figure it out that we use some stunt doubles? Anyway, I love a good sequence where you can obviously see the stunt doubles. We've had many this year already. But that, on top of the fact that they just have this wordless, we now have this thing, and I'll set up a phone line, and now we'll know how to communicate with each other all the time.
Mm-hmm.
How did they communicate yeah. in that moment? I loved it.
Who
that's,
knew?
That's you know, an incredible scene. It's an incredible scene.
Absolutely. They also posit it as a premise whereby the that police chief has a untraceable cell phone.
Yes,
right. Mm-hmm. Very common in 1989, Mark.
The right people had access to that technology. Right people.
And they always used it for good.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Only benevolent or heroic men could have that phone. Never would it fall into
well,
the hands of evil.
Also, Kingpin, who is, I think, somebody used to quarterback that whole heist.
Yeah. Well, sure, him too.
I'm surprised nobody said that moment where Kingpin, like, bites on the end of the antenna was their favorite.
Oh,
was, like,
oh
their,
no, that was so good.
Oh, my God. That was amazing. Yeah. That was amazing.
You know, I want to give a genuine compliment to this film. One of my favorite moments of this movie was Matt Murdock's reaction to finding out that David Nelson, Knee Banner, was the Incredible Hulk, and his like, I'm so sorry. That like, that line read was pretty damn good for what the rest of the movie was. I was like, wow, mm-hmm. that you dug deep for that level of empathy there, buddy. hidden life, alias, secret identities. You sold it all in one sentence, and I thought he did a great job with that.
Yeah.
Imagine how good Batman would have been.
I know. I mean, if only. If only.
I'm Batman.
I'm Batman.
I'm
Batman. Or he just says it with his eyes.
Right.
Doesn't need to say it at all.
They never nod.
Anything.
He just looks.
Rex, are you playing this Batman kind of blind? No, I would never.
No,
I would never play a superhero blind.
Never. This Batman is fully sighted. However, in this scene, he doesn't use his sense of sight. He uses only his four other senses. He chooses not to see.
Was that his audition?
Yeah. All right, we're going to go with Michael Keaton anyway, then. We're going to...
He's just seriously, though, like, he told this story to IGN where he said, like, the person at WB was like, you're the guy. Like,
I like to think it was like John Peters or someone else crazy coked up at that point. Right. You're Batman!
You're Batman. You're going to fight a giant spider.
Rex, let me cut your hair. You're Batman. I'm going to do it. I'm going to give you a perm. You're going to be Batman. Then Tim Burton was like, I'm going to do Beetlejuice instead. Beetlejuice.
Yeah,
Batman.
I'm good. All right, let's final questions here. Just a couple quick questions.
Okay.
All right. Was anybody else impressed that they stuck so well to Daredevil's story?
If I knew Daredevil's story, I suppose I could answer that. But am I on trial?
Yeah.
Wake up! It's just a bad dream.
Oh. Finally, this is the trial of the Incredible Hulk. Oh. Finally, it happens.
Please let me wake up and let it be June. Please let me wake up and let it be June.
They did a great job sticking to Daredevil's comic origins. However, I think the essence of Daredevil maybe wasn't portrayed on screen
for sure.
With the way you want or the way you think of Daredevil. It was a little more Adam Westy. It was like Adam Westy Daredevil than it would have been maybe necessarily in the comics. And for my taste.
Yeah.
That said, other people may like it.
I just, when I look at these movies and even that TV show, like having that kind of, this is like pre-internet. This is like, they did not worry about that kind of continuity stuff. They were not concerned, you know? So
they were building a cinematic universe with these things.
I mean, in a way, the cinematic universes that continue to not take off, but essentially, yes. I mean, and so for them to even like stick to some of those details and actually like tell some of the true details of his father, and you know, I mean, yeah, right off the bat, we don't have Foggy, as I was mentioning. Like, they've definitely veered off a little bit, but like when you even have the fact that he's called David Banner, like just that kind of change is so like. It's, I mean, in the end, it's fine. Who cares? But it's also like, that's just not the name of the character.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's like doing Romeo and Juliet and like, yeah, but I'm going to call Romeo Ronald.
Yeah.
You know, like, well, that doesn't make any sense. And it doesn't rhyme. It doesn't fit the iambic pentameter, but it's what I want. It's my vision. I don't know. So there's some element to that I was just kind of like, hey, for a large part, they kind of stuck to Daredevil's story. It's, you know, not bad. Good job for them.
Absolutely. And they, yeah, I think they even included some of the smaller backstory things that could come back. His father being a fighter, you know, his sources, his like kind of using his being a defense attorney as a way to get information from criminals to fight crime.
Right.
All of that stuff was that base was laid down for sure.
I guess.
Mark does not. He only knows Ben Affleck. That's the only version he knows.
Well, in a lot of ways, all of us only know Ben Affleck.
That's true. So true. And the only way he'll let us. David rents this room from the 1800s that like has no sink but just a water basin.
Yes.
Like, it was like, what is happening? I'll paint it. I won't plumb it, but I will paint it if you stay long enough.
I mean, he's happy to paint it.
Yeah.
He just wants a little bit of a commitment.
Just please, I'll paint it. Please,
just
I won't.
Literally just make eye contact and I'll paint this whole apartment. Tops to tails. If you just acknowledge I'm alone. You know what? Split a piece of cheesecake with me and I'll put a new floor in. I'll do anything for you. I'll give you a kidney. I'm so lonely.
But my question is, though, what is the worst place you have ever lived in?
Oh, I think I'm gonna win this one. I'm gonna say it first so it's not. So when I first moved to LA, I house sat for a couple weeks and had to find a place to live, and I answered a thing on Craigslist for a sharing an apartment for $400 a month off of Beechwood and Gower. And when I moved in, it was particle board put up against the corner of one room with a like Sawzall door cut out and rudimentary hinges. It was basically like 3 by 7 feet, and they had put a tiny cot in there, and that weird Harry Potter cubby was my apartment for like 7 months when I first moved to LA.
Wow.
I
just lived
in that. Well, this other dude just enjoyed the apartment and took $400 from me every month. Like, wow. there was no like, he was not friendly in the way that like, we'll share the common area. Obviously I had to go use the bathroom, but even then I was like walking on eggshells because there was such a strange dominance dynamic of like, I made you live in this weird homemade corner. You go to the bathroom when I am not going to be disturbed by it. So that's by far the worst place I've ever lived.
Corner boy doesn't talk.
No, he doesn't corner make boy, a goddamn corner noise. Boy
doesn't walk around.
Everybody puts Tommy in the corner.
Oh, I mean, the fact, 7 months. Oh my God. Yep. Even yep. 3 months.
City,
I was
city
like,
of stars, as they say in La La Land.
City. City. That's stars. City.
You want to live in city? You got to live in a corner.
Oh, I don't think I have anything that will top that.
I can't. I cannot. Yeah. I have nothing.
You know,
that comes
I wanted
close.
To do that one because I felt like I would be weird to unload that at the end after everyone shared their stories. Right.
Like, well, demolish all stories.
I lived in subhuman conditions willingly. Right. So
I had a roommate who farted all the time. Yeah. You're like, well,
this guy hardly ever did the dishes. I lived in a literal corner trap, like a mouse trap. I lived in a saw puzzle. I lived in jigsaw.
What's interesting, though, is that guy was so mean because it's like he should be like, what's up, bud? Because
yeah,
like,
holy
you
shit,
are...
you're dumb enough to pay this amount.
Right. We're on month 4 of this experiment I wasn't sure would work.
Ryan, I'll tell you, he went away for 3 days one time, and it was like being out of like prison on good behavior. Like I went out into the living room and was like Tim Robbins in Shawshank. Like I was just spinning around like...
It's as if grandma left the mansion for the weekend and unlocked the attic for all the kids to come down.
Exactly.
And they were like, wow.
It was crazy. It was,
look at this. The fridge is filled with food.
And would I do it again? You bet your ass.
best 7 months of my life. All right. Let's do some quick research here. This is shot in Burnaby. British Columbia, which is about 30 minutes outside of Vancouver, but still, you know, Bixby was staying in Vancouver. He was.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
I'll commute to Burnaby.
Plaza Hotel, Vancouver, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to stay there.
He had Edgar fan boating him in every morning on the Fisk One.
And they can't go very fast on the thing, right? No, doesn't even have a windshield. Doesn't even have a
why,
top.
That's no. why they can hit it like 3 times on the side as it's flying away. It's like, hey.
They're just like airboat technology works also in the air, correct? Like that's basically the logic of that whole machine.
That's thesis.
I mean, if it works on water, it should work in the air, right?
Like maybe they didn't try to stop it because they were like, this thing's never going to fly. So right. just let it go. This thing's going to fall right off the
it's
building.
It's got one giant motor in the back. That does it.
Yeah.
How does it work that they have a helicopter just has one on the top? That doesn't make any sense. This will make sense. Actually, the helicopter makes a lot of sense. Anyway, this goes, shooting begins on February 15th, 1989, lasts a month. Goes into production because The Incredible Hulk Returns was a rating success, ending 4th in the Nielsen ratings for that period, which clearly prompted New World to make not just another movie, but attempting to create a backdoor pilot for a Daredevil TV show. But as I said, it started shooting in February, so it goes for like around a month. So we're talking roughly March 15th. This airs Sunday, May 7th, 1989. Whoa! So that is
like that's a quick turnaround.
Roger Corman level turnaround on this movie.
Was like, that editor on so anything fast. Other than amphetamines? They were like, you don't eat?
That is so fast. Holy
we've
crap.
We've got trucker pills for you. You're going to just edit this thing. I don't care. We're gonna pay you, decent money. You won't sleep for 80 days, but you're going to edit
this. Put on this diaper and just poop and pee your pants. Get to work.
Drink like a gerbil out of a little water thing. You're going to edit this movie. It's coming out in May.
That sounded like rapid fire shoulder kisses. Oh, God. Okay, so this airs, like I said, it's a Sunday. It airs on a Sunday, May 7th, 1989, on NBC. Your day of rest. You need to have Trial of the Incredible Hulk.
Come home from church. 7-hour nap, Incredible Hulk.
Yeah. I wish we could have watched it with commercials.
I know.
That's a late one thing I hated was like, oh man, it would be fun to watch this.
It would be fun.
With the commercials.
There's still something though to me watching, since we just finished actually a whole month, Tommy, of watching New World television movies.
Mm-hmm.
And then we talked about a pilot for Power Pack that never got actually, that they made but never turned into a series. So we've kind of stuck with TV now for 6 weeks. And the thing I am going to miss are those like fade to blacks that you're this is where a commercial would be, you know?
Yeah.
And
just weird pauses of like, why is this stopping? Why is the action stopping now? The Hulk just got into a very melodramatic moment. And they're like,
it's literally when the trial starts. When the trial starts and he's like, rah! Then it fades out. And then it comes back out.
And like, they have to do the little recap for people that have short-term memory loss. And they're like, wait, what was I watching?
I got so into that Tide commercial. I couldn't even, I forgot where we were.
My God.
I completely lost the thread of this thing. So this airs on NBC. And the other things that are airing at the time, it's the first night of a 5-night miniseries. The end. This is the end. So this is part two, I think. 5-night miniseries on ABC called War and Remembrance that aired over 5 nights starting on Sunday. And on CBS, the movie Witness. With Harrison Ford. So you're getting all your Indiana Jones if you're flipping back and forth.
Wow.
And this
not necessarily... the spirit of the films,
Of course, this is all part of May sweeps. So this is a big. This is where they do the final big sweeps before the fall sweeps. So this is like all the conquering heroes basically get to live through the summer, going hell yeah, we summer break, but we're the top network or whatnot. And initial ratings for this were good. This finished for that evening. War and Remembrance got killed.
Oh.
Yeah,
it's tough for them. I guess Remembrance was a concept, not an execution.
Everyone's like, ugh, War and Remembrance.
I guess it's just War and at this point.
So War and Remembrance finished third in the Nielsen ratings in the 20 largest cities. Number one, I mean, Witness. Obviously.
For
Witness.
Sure.
Yeah.
A 19-point rating, 29-share Hulk, though. Trial of the Incredible Hulk had a 14.6 rating and a 22-share. So
not shabby.
And as like a – in terms of the whole week, it was basically number 17 for the whole week.
It's a lot of – what are the odds do you think that John Rhys Davies even knew that it came out?
I don't think he knew. I don't think he had any idea.
Yeah. I don't think to this day he knows.
He has no clue he was even in that. I don't think he remembers. Number 17, right behind Matlock. I mean,
Coming back to TV soon, Matlock.
Wow.
Rebooted.
Some other things just for everybody to remember. Number one, of course, Roseanne.
I loved Roseanne.
Number seven, Hunter.
Still do. I love her message now. You know, she's just always coming out with good new stuff to listen to. check her out. Google her if you can.
Witness was ninth for the week.
Wow.
Number nine.
So what was going on Sunday nights? People kind of phoning it in. Were they
people were like, yeah. Well, this Warden. Is the entire week. So ninth on a Sunday. I mean, not bad.
You're right.
Just in front of Murder, She Wrote.
Ooh,
not Jessica bad. Fletcher. And number 13, Ellie Law, of course, starring Harry Hamlin Tom Clancy.
Hairham.
Tom Clancy's Op Center, which was our episode a couple weeks ago.
Harry Hamlin, favorite of my mom. One of those like rare actors my mom will admit to having
all
a little bit of a crush on.
Almost all moms. Oh, man.
You throw Mark Harmon and Harry Hamlin in a room and I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like... It gets going to be
a lot of sign
real warm in there all of a sudden, didn't it?
The trial of Maggie Bechtel, the trial of tribulation.
You want to know why? Because if I was about to be assaulted on public transit, I believe Hare Ham would step in.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. He would step in.
He definitely wouldn't wait a full 90 seconds.
Yeah, I wouldn't have to beg him and be like, please step in.
For Christ's sakes, the man's kissing the side of my neck. Can you
step in?
Want to jump in here, able-bodied
step
man?
In.
I love the moment where she's like, hey, could we just pretend we're together, so they'll just leave me alone? And he's just like, don't. Just like looks away, like says
I'm not
nothing.
Looking for anything right now. I don't want any. I'm not looking for any entanglements.
I can barely commit to this room that I'm
this
staying
beard
in.
Beard is stressful enough for me. I don't even recognize my.
I'm eventually going to get rid of it. I'm going to dump it in this movie.
You won't see it in 2 minutes when I turn green.
I'm sorry, you're not a blind male gymnast. I'm not interested.
I don't have the time for people like you.
Speaking of the blind male gymnast, the Daredevil TV show, both Rex Smith and John Rhys-Davies were signed on for that show. But guess what superhero killed that? Not Batman.
Greatest American Hero?
But no, that had already been off the air for a while. But it is a DC superhero that knocks off the Daredevil TV show, ultimately. Smith, like I said, he talked to the IGN, and he said that CBS buys out his contract at NBC to be Daredevil, so that they would have no competition for their superhero show, The Flash.
Mm. Oh, The Flash.
The 1990 series, The Flash, created by Danny Bilson and Paul DeMeo of New World's The Wrong Guys.
Wow.
Nice.
John Wesley Shipp.
John Wesley Shipp. That's right. Mark Harmon. Or Harmon. Sorry. Mark Hamill.
Hamill as the trickster.
As the trickster. That's right. I mean, come on. And unfortunately, they cleared out all the competition, but The Flash would only last for one season.
And I want to say, I'm willing to be corrected again because I've made a few blunders on this. I believe Danny Elfman did the soundtrack for the pilot movie of The Flash. I believe.
He may have. He also did the pilot movie for Power Pack. He just was unaware that he did it. That was not something he was aware of, but he did do it. Just wasn't 100% aware.
I've been there. I've done some improv shows I've been unaware that I was in. I've been told later.
I'm checking this out in real time. Let's see. Yep, Danny Elfman does the music.
Nice.
So, yes.
Wow,
well
nice
done.
Job.
Nice.
Well done.
Hey. Anything for you guys.
Well, Tommy, that is it. Thank you so much for coming
back.
Wow. For
it's
the Charlie Incredible Hulk.
You know what? Only one thing can keep me up until 1:30 on the East Coast, and that is talking New Line Cinema TV shows about the Incredible Hulk, baby.
New World.
New World.
Yeah,
New Line.
Yes. Yeah, wow. A common mistake.
A fun thing about this podcast is I turned into my dad right at the beginning. I'm in his house right now, and I'm looking at his wine rack, which my dad has never drank wine in his life, so I have no idea why this even exists, and I summoned his power to incorrectly label everything. So I've got to say sorry to all the fans of the New World.
I love all these New Balance pictures that you guys are into. Those are some very fun stuff.
This is great. This is great.
No, people make that mistake all the time. Not a problem.
Yeah,
it's happened many times. Not a problem.
Not for me. It's like Christopher Columbus. All I care about is the New World. And like Christopher Columbus, I'm secretly terrible. Good night.
Tommy, thank you so much for being on the show.
Yes, thank you
so
much.
It's a pleasure to have you.
Anytime.
Love hanging out with you. Thank you for hanging out so late for us. Did not realize.
Yes.
No, my until absolute we pleasure. I didn't want to tell you because I was afraid you'd try to cancel me. So I
no way.
You can't do this podcast. It's 11:30.
No. We appreciate you staying up super late.
Yes, thank you.
Tell everybody where they can find you online if you want them to find you.
You can find me at Tommy Bechtold, early adopter. It's just at Tommy Bechtold everywhere. You look at Tommy Bechtold, accept no imitations because there's just me. And please watch my podcast at Guardians of the Galaxy or at Got Pals, which is dangerously close to GOP, but we try to avoid
that. Got pals
on Twitter. And or just, you know, find me in the streets. Where I'm always down for a scraper.
Find you in city. Just go to the city and you'll be there.
Find me in street next to dumpster.
Oh, always in city. That's you. Well, thank you again to Find Tommy. If you want to find our socials, go to website newworldpicturespodcast.com. That's where you can find all of our episodes. You can find our articles. You can buy a t-shirt. Okay.
Yes.
That's what helps us. Also helps us if you tell everybody about the show, give us a review if you want to. We haven't gotten one in a long time. So surprise us, give us a 5-star review. If you want to be cute, give us a 2-star review. Guess what? You're wrong. Don't do it. You're a bad person. Move on. This is a free podcast. You're free to listen to anything else. Oh my God. Don't be a jerk.
Yeah. What's the matter with you?
Whoa. Wow.
I agree.
Yeah.
If you're thinking about putting 2 stars down, again, I am in city waiting for fight.
Waiting to rumble.
I will fight in city with fist.
Oh, thank you so much for listening. And we'll see you next week for some more Mark's Miserable Marvelous May Part 2. More miserable. And we'll see you next time on the New World Pictures Podcast. Bye, everybody.